What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour of the show here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. It is officially now the All-Star break for the NHL. The Predators have been off. This is their bye week. The way they're doing it now, they have
one section of the teams.
Yeah, that take the extra days off going into the All-Star break, and the other remaining teams take a break after the All-Star break. What it does is it certainly condenses the schedule down the stretch once this break is over. And the Predators have played the fewest games in the league, so they will be very busy in February and March, which is good. They need to be because they are behind, and so they're going to need to take advantage of the games in hand. But in doing so, they will certainly have less rest than some of their teams that they are facing.
I'll ask Elliot this when we get him on.
Yeah, we'll be joined by him, and he's brought to us by Carrie Zier, RE/MAX Elite.
And I'll ask you this, though, because you obviously follow the games closely, being the play-by-play guy. Do you think since they've added this I call it spring break, but this break for the players, it was negotiated on
in the CBA,
the CBA, of, you know, that they have this break, so they have a week off essentially, and then you have a condensed schedule to make up the time. Do you think it's changed the product? Is the product better? Do you see a difference in the player?
Well, why don't we start our discussion with Elliot with that. We are joined by Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. I have it pulled up right now on my computer, and of course he's with Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, welcome to the show once again. Are you going to St. Louis for the All-Star break?
I'm here. You got me in my hotel.
Fantastic. Nice. Well, Chase asked the question. With the last couple of years, and they've done it slightly different times, but now, you know, either you have the break before the All-Star weekend or after.
Yep.
And Chase's question is, how do you think it affects the play? Because we were just pointing
this
out.
Have you seen a difference? Like, do you think that it's worked that you get the players for a week off and they're more refreshed, and maybe some guys are healed up because they've had, you know, some injuries or nicks here and there? Do you think it's changed the product at all?
I think it's the one thing that was really bad a few years ago was they figured out that there were a bunch of teams that were getting time off and there were a bunch of teams that were still playing. And the teams that, when they met up, the teams that got time off had a horrible record. So, because the teams that were playing, they were going, and they were killing them. And so they changed the whole way it goes now. A whole bunch of teams go off at once, then a bunch of teams go off after. That way, A, they have hockey on TV every night, except around the All-Star break where there's the one night off. And two, you know, you don't have teams playing each other where one's rested and one isn't, because the teams that were rested were getting clobbered. You know, the players really fight for this. The one thing is there's a lot more days off in the schedule now than there ever have been. When the last CBA was done in 2013, the players got 4 guaranteed days off a month. And now you get this around the All-Star break where you get, I think, 5 days off each team. You can't complain about lack of rest anymore. Like, this league is better at doing rest than it ever has been. Now you see more teams taking off the morning skates. I think there's one thing you can't say there. Ignoring, and that's just the players needing recuperation. There's plenty of it now.
So there's a compelling thing. The reason we bring this up in some cases is we're talking about the Predators, who have played the fewest games of anybody.
Yes.
They're on their break right now. They have, in some cases, 4 and 5 games in hand on some of these teams that they're chasing. But the other side of that, of course, is they're going to have some more back-to-backs in these last couple of months. So what's the trade-off?
Well, I think the other thing that happens, too, is, and this is, you know, it's actually a really interesting story, is that teams do have some slight control over their schedules. Now, you know, teams always complain about it. They say, we don't get enough control because it's not possible. But a lot of teams do get control, some of it, over their schedule. They can submit dates. Because the league will ask you, and you have 41 home games, so I think they ask for something like 50 or 60 dates. They say, give us these nights that you'd like to play at home. How many nights is your building available? And one of the things I've always heard about markets like Nashville and in the southern states is they want more after football than they want before football. And Nashville's not the only team that's like that. I know Dallas has historically fought for that, and especially during the football season, they don't want home games on Friday, and they're not always crazy about them on Saturdays or Sundays either. So I think that it wouldn't surprise me if some of this is Nashville's own doing. They prefer that kind of a setup. And so when I see a team like the Predators having more dates later in the year, it doesn't come as a huge surprise to me.
You had an interesting almost start to your column this week with the 31 thoughts.
Where... I'm glad you said that my column was almost interesting.
Well, you almost started. You have a note before you start the notes, is what I meant, or the thoughts, if you will, the numbered thoughts.
But no, I'm just kidding.
You're talking about the Wild and the Blackhawks. Any scenario where the Predators get into the playoffs, to me, they've got to pass both of those teams.
Yep.
And you had them almost as sellers, but they've played well enough here recently that they're looking around going, hey, you know, somebody's got to get in there. We got a shot. So what do you think their thinking is right now?
Well, Minnesota, I know early in the year, they were kind of open for business, and Bill Guerin, their new GM, he had a lot of names out there. He had Kevin Fiala out there at one particular point in time, and who you guys know really well, and Fiala's actually started to play better. He was, I think, a healthy scratch for the first or second time in his career when the Wild came through Toronto. And I'd heard he was out there, and he's played better. You know, they've had some of their other players out there, but kind of out of nowhere, they made a run. Like, we all thought they were done. Like, we didn't think there was any chance they were making the playoffs, and we kind of saw them as one of the lower teams in the Western Conference. But, you know, they beat Detroit again last night. They're in it. Jason Zucker, the winger, he's been mentioned in a few things. I know Pittsburgh tried to trade for him in the summer for Phil Kessel. Kessel blocked that, went to Arizona instead. You know, but I think Pittsburgh still has them on the radar, but Minnesota's not giving up while they're still in the race. Well, they're still in the race, and they're not selling. So I think they're going to take a bit more time before the deadline on the 24th of February and see kind of where they are. Chicago is another team. I think they were starting to look around. I know there was some interest in Saad. I think there's some interest in Gustafson, the defenseman. But all of a sudden, the Blackhawks played their way back into the race, and they had a tough loss to Florida on Tuesday night. They needed that game. They didn't get it, but they're in the race. So I think those two teams are kind of I think there's interest in some of their players, but while they're in it, they're not going to sell off. So I think the next kind of two or three weeks will tell what they decide to do. Are we still in it, or are we selling?
Assess the situation for Winnipeg right now. The Predators have caught a break. They've sat there while Winnipeg's been playing, and Winnipeg has not been able to move ahead by a further gap. But Nashville went to Winnipeg, got a good win up there here recently. So that's a team that, you know, on the radar, the Predators in the big picture probably have to beat.
Yeah, Winnipeg, it's tough. Like, their goalie, who you know well, Hellebuck, has played unreal this year. He's been a Vezina Trophy, Hart Trophy, MVP-type player. But he's kind of come back to earth in the last little while. And I know there's been some talk that just the pressure of, you know, really holding the team in, he's worn down a little bit. You know, he played three. He didn't play last night in Columbus, but the three games he played before that, which was Tampa, Chicago, and Carolina, he gave up 8 goals in the 3 first periods. He just wasn't himself. And I think he needs a bit of a mental break, although he's coming up here for the All-Star game. You know, they played last night. It was typical of them. They played really hard. They had 3-1 goal leads and they lost the game in regulation. You know, when they lost Bufflin at the beginning, like they knew they were going to lose Trouba, and they were pretty sure they were going to lose Myers, but they didn't think they were going to lose Bufflin. And his decision to sit out at the beginning of the year, it's really hammered them. They can't really make moves because they don't know his status. He could come back in theory, and his cap hit is $7.6 million. It doesn't really allow them to do anything. So they knew they were shorthanded at the beginning of the year, and they really play hard. They're just not good enough, especially on the blue line. I think it's a real credit to how hard they've played that they've stayed in to this point, but their margin for victory and defeat, it's so thin. They're on a bad stretch right now. They need the break to regroup, but I think it's going to be a real fight for them to get in. Like, you know, I just think that they just don't, they're a little bit shy in terms of what they've got on their blue line, and I don't think they can fix it during the season because of the Bufflin situation.
Talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and something that came up earlier in the show, Elliot, that honestly we don't have the answer for, and I don't know if you do either, but John Hines, do you happen to know his contract situation with the Predators and how long David Poile signed him to? Because that's just information we don't have.
I'm working on it. I believe now, I think he got one extra year, but I don't know that for sure.
So essentially, when you say one extra
year. This year and two more.
This year and two more. Okay.
That's what I think, but I'm not 100% sure on that, which is probably a bad thing for me to be saying on Nashville radio. But that's kind of, that's what I heard. I'm still working on it.
It's only been six games, but what's your assessment of the John Hines era thus far?
Well, I think that, you know, like I look at you guys this year and I think John Hines is running into the same thing. First of all, it's difficult to change, you know, who you are in the middle of a season, especially in a place like the Western Conference where because of your travel, you don't get to practice as much. You know, right. teams have always told me that when you make a coaching change, one of the biggest things you have, especially if you're really asking to make a big change in the way you play, how many days do you have to practice? And it's always dependent on how you travel. And you guys have, you're centrally located, but the Western Conference teams always have fewer practice days. So that's number one. I always look at that as a bit of a handicap for a team because he's trying to change the way you play. But the thing is, generally, every team gets sort of like what we joke is the dead cat bounce from coaching. But in a lot of ways, you probably go back to who you are. And, you know, does it not seem to you guys like just something's missing this year?
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's, you know, I remember last time we talked about what Milbury said about Johansson. You know, he hasn't looked like himself. You know, the goaltending, they haven't looked like themselves. Something's missing. When I watch you guys, I just say there's something missing there. Like there's, I think, you know, you guys grew up with the kind of disrespect. Not, I don't know if disrespected or underrated sort of identity. You had to fight and claw for everything you guys had, and I don't know. It just seems like a little bit of that edge is gone there from your group. I don't know exactly what's happened, but that's what I see when I watch it from away. That I just remember. I know some of your guys like Arvidsson, Johansson. You know when you guys went to the final in 2017. That whole Sissons, Watson, that group, I mean, there was a real edge to your group, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to be there right now.
Yeah, and that's what's so hard to figure out is and how you get that back. I mean, we were talking earlier, and I said, look, I want to see this team make the playoffs, but I also don't want to see a team just barely get in and get beaten five games, and that's where I think David Poile has the struggle of trying to figure out what the right formula is with this team because of so many contracts that he's tied into.
Yeah, and I think that, and we've talked about this, I think David Poile has tried to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, we've mentioned some of the names, like he's had Granlund out there, he's had Smith out there, he's had Turris out there. You know, so I was on in Buffalo Radio today, and one of those guys asked me, do you think they'd ever move a guy like Arvidsson? And I'd say I'd be shocked if they'd move a guy like him. I think it's a great contract, and he's a big part of their identity. But I think if David Poile could have made a simple change, for lack of a better term, he would have done it already. And, you know, what it says to me is that he probably waits. Like, there's no point in you guys going out and getting a rental. I agree with you guys on that. So unless he's willing to do some major surgery now, he probably waits to see what's out there after the season. I mean, you guys got games in hand, you're right, but all of a sudden, like, the gap between you and the second wild card in the West is growing. It's farther than I think we all thought it was going to be. And even though Vegas doesn't look right either, they don't look like themselves. You know, I think there's reason to be concerned about the way you guys are going. It just, you know, for a long time, Nashville was always more than the sum of its parts. This year's team, for whatever reason, is less than the sum of its parts.
You bring up something, though. I'm with you. I don't see Victor Arvidsson being one of those guys that gets traded. But, you know, whatever this looks like at the end of the season and get into the offseason, I do wonder if moving one of those guys that we put in the no way they're traded category, if that is the change that's going to be needed to try and right this ship.
Well, I would be curious to know who you think one of those guys would be, because, like, you're not trading Yossi.
Right.
I can't see you trading Ellis.
Correct.
I don't, like, every team in the league would love to have Ekholm. I can't see you guys doing that. You know, Johansson, like, he's got a big number, and he's having a rough year. Like, you're trading him at a disadvantage. Are you trading Duchesne a year in? Like, all of a sudden, we're starting to run out of guys. And
right.
And I guess, like, the other thing, too, is Arvidsson's yours.
Homegrown.
Like, he's a born-and-bred Predator. He fits the attitude of what you guys were for a long time. Like, I understand you have to trade quality to get quality. But to me, like, you know, he's a Predator. And you're taking out a good chunk of your identity if you move that guy.
Elliot, you mentioned there's some guys on expiring contracts, and it's almost impossible now that the Predators are a cap team. That is another thing that is different now than it was on some of those teams you referenced, where they were the scrappy sort of underdog that had to fight for everything. Well, they didn't mm-hmm. have the resources that they have now. And so part of that is you don't have much flexibility. But is there a mm-hmm. hockey trade to be made if you're saying maybe they could use an extra veteran defenseman, an upgrade from what they've got, and they could use a forward as trade bait? Is that kind of deal out there? Or is it, what's the market for, say, a number four defenseman?
Well, I think you could probably make a pretty reasonable deal for that. You know, I think at this time of the year, you know, the depth guys you can identify pretty easily, and you can make those kinds of deals. I don't think they're as difficult. You know, the thing is, like, you already know what's – I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the conversation. I think a lot of teams, you kind of already know what's out there, right? Like, you know what's out there from L.A., you know what's out there from Anaheim, you know what's out there from Jersey, you know what's out there from those kinds of teams. I think now you're waiting to see, okay, what does Minnesota decide to do? What does Montreal decide to do? What does Chicago decide to do? You know, is there anybody else? You know, does Toronto move one of their free agent D? So, you know, I think you're in a situation where unless David Poile feels he has to move right away, you know, some of that will shake out over the next little while. There's a lot of players out there, I think, guys, that teams kind of know what it's going to take to get them. Like, you know, LA's got a couple of guys. You know, one of them is Alec Martinez, for example, although he's got another year left. You know what it's going to take to get him. So either David does that or decides not to do that, or he waits to see, does someone else become available who he likes.
Last thing,
but you can make those deals. Those deals are available.
Last thing for you, Elliot. The team that comes in here Monday night is an interesting one, and you just referenced them. The Toronto Maple Leafs, kind of like the Predators, high expectations, hasn't gone their way. So you got a couple of teams in the same boat. So kind of you have this a lot in your column this week, but the Toronto's got a lot swirling around up there.
Yep. We do. We always do. And if we don't, we'll make it up. Like, that's the way the Toronto media is, right? You know what? There's a lot of pressure here. There's no question. They made the coaching change. They took off. They've kind of come back down to earth. You know, I've said this a lot this week, but Toronto reminds me about the Washington Capitals like a decade ago. Like a lot of talent, didn't know how to win yet. And eventually they got there and they finally won. Because they had great talent and they surrounded them with good players and they figured out how to win. And that's what I think Toronto is. I mean, you know, Sheldon Keefe, the coach, he ripped them. Their last game before the break was Chicago and they got blown out of the building and he called them immature. And I think it's probably true. I think there's a lot of guys there that are really talented, but, you know, it's hard to win in this league. And what I think they'll do is they'll keep sending these guys out year after year until they figure it out. But I think their future's bright. It's hard to win, and I don't think they fully understand how hard it is yet.
Elliot, great stuff as always. Enjoy your weekend in St. Louis. We're looking forward to watching the All-Star festivities, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. He is brought to you by Kerry Zire, RE/MAX Elite. When we come back, we'll give you your chance to go to ticket or to see the game between the Predators and the Maple Leafs. But I hope you were listening because you
must pay attention.
You had to pay attention. This is called not reading comprehension, but you know whatever audio comprehension. Okay, we'll come up with the term. But you got a chance to win tickets to Monday night. So that's coming up in our next segment. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Okay, we're going to find out who was paying attention, who was comprehending the material. Not that we are in school here. This is fun.
Yes.
But we want to give away to those that are paying attention to the show.
Yes.
Elliot Friedman, as usual, outstanding insight. You know, the trade winds are just starting, right? And he said an interesting thing that right now there's a lot of teams right on the fence, right? They're not ready to decide. Am I ready to deal these guys or am I going to wait it out? And I think teams like Chicago and Minnesota, they might be like, hey, man, I didn't think we were this good, but heck, we're right in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait it out. So, with that in mind, here's your chance to win tickets to Monday's game against the Maple Leafs.
And you must call on this.
You got to call. You can't text on this one. 737-1025. In the discussion of a number of teams, he referenced one team in the playoff race who has an all-star goalie that has been overtaxed in his mind. A team that has used their goalie a lot. And he might be showing signs of fatigue and needs a mental break. If you know the name of that goalie, if you were listening to the interview, recite that goalie, and you will be going to the game against the Maple Leafs on Monday night. That's going to be a really intriguing matchup. Two teams that need to get off the blocks in the right direction because they're chasing the pack right now. They're behind and need to move up. 737-1025 if you can name that goalie.
There you go.
Pretty interesting reference of the Capitals a decade ago with this Maple Leafs team that's coming in on Monday.
Yeah, I do like that. I think that's interesting. I mean, you have Austin Matthews. That's the Alex Ovechkin, of 10 years ago. So I think Toronto is very talented. As I said earlier, I'm concerned about this game Monday, even though you have both teams that, you know, have had the break and all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's an X factor because they haven't been together,
yeah.
Right? Neither team will have gathered to do anything. They're just showing up to go.
And as Elliot pointed out, it's so hard to put your systems in place when you make a coaching change mid-season. And teams do it, but we always want to be quick to go, oh, yeah, but, you know, the Penguins did it and they won the cup. They did it twice and they won the cup. You know, St. Louis last year, they fired their coach and then they won the cup. Yes, it happens. But you also have to look at the times that there have been coaching changes, and there have been quite a bit this year, and then teams that actually, you know, come back and win it all. It's very hard to turn things around. And we've seen some signs of things working with the change with John Hines, but it hasn't been just like a quick fix, and it's not going to be. So, you know, I think that Toronto is in the same category because they made a coaching change, you know, about a month before Peter Laviolette was let go. So they're kind of into to figure it all out, too. Now, they went on a great run, And it really, you know, picked him up. But this is going to be a tough one on Monday. I want to see how the team responds and how they come back after the break.
I think there were two things that he said that were interesting because we broke it down with Adam Vingan in an earlier hour, some of the specific things about the Predators. But if you had to boil it down, there's two areas that are sort of just big picture stuff. Forget about the specifics of X's and O's or individual players, but there's two things that Elliott hit on. One is, how much does it make a difference changing your structure, changing the way you play? I think the hope is that that's why you did it, right? That's one reason that you made a change, and that is just how you defend teams, a different system, how you break out of the offensive zone, changing the plays, so to speak, right? You're changing your system. Can you do that? Well, it doesn't help that you don't have a lot of practices, but you hope that over time that helps you. That's the hope. So it's an interesting thought of how much does that help you. Then the other part is one that you really can't coach, right? If you're John Hines, you try, but you're more of a psychologist, right? And that is, how do you get that edge back, that right. energy level, playing to your identity? That is probably more important than the actual system change you're making. I think the system change can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, can the guys get the fire, the edge, the confidence, all of those things that are hard to do for any coach? He's going to try, believe
sure.
me. I mean, he's going to try to push those psychological buttons. But
let me ask
it's
you
not
something.
Easy to do, right? It's some right. of it's up to the players collectively.
You just said playing to your identity. What is the identity of this team?
The identity of this team is four lines that attack. Four lines that come at you with energy that can put the opposition on their heels.
That's the identity of this team right now, or that's what they want it to be? Because I say it's what they want it to be. I don't think that's their identity right now. I don't think they have truly found that.
I think if they had found it, they would not have changed coaches.
Exactly.
They haven't been that. I think they've shown signs of that. When they have played well, I think that is what it looks like. The other thing that is part of their identity is not just good goaltending, but excellent goaltending as a tandem. And it's been nowhere close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That has to change. Now, that's part of the reasoning behind the structure change. Right? They're hoping that the structure change will help the goaltenders be better. But that's only part of it, right? The bottom line is the goalies just have to play better, just like the pitchers have to pitch well, right? You can have on paper, hey, look at this starting staff we got. Man, we got this guy. But if they're not pitching well, then it's up to the pitchers to pitch better, right? I think the goalies would tell you that their numbers, like if Jacob DeGrom's ERA is 4.5, he's got to put it on himself. He says, it can't all be my defense,
yeah.
right? That maybe my defense didn't catch that ball that was hit up the gap. Some of it's got to be on him, right? So just like Pekka-Rinne and UC Saros, they've got better hockey in them, I believe. That has to happen. It all starts with that. That would erase a lot of other issues.
Yeah, and that's where I think they have to get to. They have to, if they have said, this is going to be our identity, this is what we want to be, that needs to be the goal of helping them to, or the goal of getting to that point. The thing is, can they do that this season? Or are we looking at a team that, like Elliott was saying, that, you know, probably going to have to wait till the offseason, retool some things? You're stuck in a lot of ways, and there are some players that he named, like, who are you going to get rid of? And I think that's going to be part of the tough decision that David Poile is going to have to make of, okay, do you try to move a Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, I'm just naming off the big contracts, Philip Forsberg. And those of you listening right now are immediately screaming at your radio going, no, you're not going to do that. And I agree with you, but then what do you do? If you got to make changes, then what are the changes? Because you just made the biggest change you can make.
I think going into the offseason, there will be plenty of time to kind of assess that.
Sure.
Do your self-evaluation. Right now, I think it's more of, is there something that can be done to tweak the team? We've identified an extra defenseman, I think would be nice, right? A veteran guy maybe not a guy that breaks the bank. We're not talking about an ace like a PK Subban or a guy that plays in your top pair. Now, the other thing that I think is very important is they have got to have Ryan Ellis back at some point. It may not be Monday. I don't know what's gone on behind the scenes during this break, and I'm hoping for the best. I'm knocking on wood. I got my fingers crossed. I got all that stuff. But what he has, a concussion, you just don't know. You cannot know when he will be available and how quickly he will be effective.
Yeah, and
they've got to have him. They are thin there where that used to be an extremely deep position.
Yep.
Where one of those guys could be out, you'd still be okay. Not anymore.
Yeah, and
they got guys playing.
I was worried about
that.
I was very worried about that when they traded PK Subban and didn't really replace him. I mean, you had
it put them in that spot.
I mean, Santini was a part of the trade for Subban, and he's in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they knew that he couldn't play.
Fabro was put into a position that he's not ready for. And he's done. He's had his moments where he's done well, but then he's had his moments where you can tell he just wasn't ready for it. They don't have any type of insurance, and I think that Hamus has played to the best that he can. But I mean, that tank's almost empty. I mean, he's an older player.
Yeah, right now you got Yannick Weber playing top defensive minutes.
Right.
He's been a healthy scratch.
Look, he's
doing everything he can. He's
I'll give
well.
Him credit. He has done, and I think they did that. Because there's familiarity with Roman Josi. They're obviously very close, being countrymen, you know, and they've known each other for a long time. It's worked the best that it can, but that's obviously not the long-term solution.
We have a winner. Todd Gross answered our question that you had to be listening to the interview. Connor Hellebuck is the goalie that has really had a lot of workload, and it seems to start to show here recently, and so this break that the Jets are about to go on might be a very good thing for Hellebuck. So, congratulations to Todd. He's going to the game on Monday night to see the Predators and the Maple Leafs. We'll take a break. When we come back, more on the other side. We'll talk a little football. We'll let you know what's going on over in Mobile. And, of course, the Pro Bowl is going on this week. We'll catch you up on the Titans stuff. I know we have really thrown out a lot of stuff. We had to almost take a deep breath today and say, you know what, we need to give it a rest just for a little bit. But I will pick your brain, Chase, on is you're thinking it all changing as the days go by here and the reality sets in. Okay, are they really going to try this? Like, I notice all the news stations are kicking this around too, the Brady stuff and all that. So we'll take a break. I'll start it by talking to you about my friends at Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to call. We've gone from very cold to now rainy. I mean, we know how the situation goes. Now, if you have already been on the ball and you're like, hey, my heater's good, we're making it through. When's the last time you had your air conditioning check? We're not far from that. Hey, college baseball is going to be starting here in a few weeks. Spring training is going to start. That triggers in your head, or at least it should, that your air conditioner is going to be in use before you know it. And that is what the thinking is behind the home maintenance plan for Lee Company, because they're always ahead of you. If you're on that home maintenance plan, you pay the small monthly fee, and in exchange for that, you get the four seasonal checkups: your heating, your cooling, your electric, and your plumbing. And if they do find something that says, hey, you know what, when it starts getting warm, this thing's not going to hold up, you might need to get this repaired, they're going to make those recommendations for you. They're going to find small problems before they become big problems. That will save you money. Also, what will save you money is when those repairs do need to get executed, you will get discounts on those. That's why it's a really good plan. The home maintenance plan with Lee Company, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you. Coming down to the home stretch here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren should be back with us tomorrow. So, Chase, you've had a chance to sleep on it for another night here. I noticed, we kicked this discussion off on Monday. It's kind of a bummer because, you know, the AFC Championship game was a good game, but there wasn't a whole lot to just analyze. We didn't have a controversial play like there was in last year's NFC Championship game or anything close to it that had us really buzzing about the game itself. It was just like, hey, they got beat. They weren't quite as good as the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes was awesome. They weren't quite good enough. And so we immediately started looking at, okay, we've known this for a while. They had a lot of roster decisions they got to kick around here. They've got, what, 18? I don't know exactly what the number is. They got a lot
of Titans.
Key guys.
I think it's 20-something contracts. Something
expiring?
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think 18 unrestricted, something like that. So anyway, we got a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made. We didn't waste a whole lot of time getting into it. And then we, on Monday with Teron, started in on the, what about Tom Brady?
Yep.
And you guys were the ones kind of carrying the torch and saying, they really got to look at this. Is your thinking different today than it was on Monday when it was first kind of thrown out there?
Maybe it's a little refined.
Because we're not, I mean, it has become a thing where everybody's weighing in on it around here because it's a,
yeah, it's a huge
a fascinating topic.
It's a huge topic. I mean, because I do kind of feel like I don't think Tom's going to try and break the bank. I don't. I know that's been out there that he's going to command 30, 35. I don't feel that way. I actually feel like that you could maybe get him cheaper than Tannehill because Tannehill's
going
to go.
You're going against what your best friend said yesterday on the radio.
I know. I know I'm going against what Tim said. So, but
you're okay with that?
Yeah.
I mean, he is your bestie.
He says 0% chance.
Right. And he also said it would cost you at least $35 million for 2 years.
Right. And I disagree.
For 2 years.
I don't think it costs that
70
much.
For two is what he threw out there.
I don't think it costs that much. But with all that said.
Based on what?
Based on the, I mean, contracts, he's, what's he making this year? 23?
On the over the cap website we saw, I think he was listed at 23.
Okay. So you really think that he's going to get $12 million raise based on the season that he had?
Well,
I don't.
He's never been an unrestricted free agent before.
No, right. He's never gotten this far.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
But
the
even
greatest of all time.
He's the GOAT. I know that. But if he's like, I'm only playing for $35 million, then even if he is the GOAT, I think the 30, you know, the other teams that are going to possibly be after his services are going to go, okay. Well, you
right.
sit
the
out
market
there.
Is
what are you going to do?
Be
you
what
retire?
It is. Yeah.
Right. I think what if you know whatever Breeze gets, that's going to be a comparable. That's going to be something that you need to look at because they're around the same age, and I think that could set his market. With all of that said, if you get Tannehill re-signed before free agency even opens, I'm okay with that. I am not in this whole Brady thing. I am not against Ryan Tannehill coming back
right.
at all.
And I'm similar to you. I'm just on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
I am for them. I would vote for them taking Tannehill
sure.
and just going with him. But if they did
yeah.
open that can of worms and Brady became available, I would say, you know what? I can't blame them if that's what they wanted to try.
And I'll word
now,
it like this.
This is all prefaced by saying
yeah. –
he's got to become available. We don't know what's going to happen with the Patriots. That's part of Tim Hasselbeck's 0%
right.
is he doesn't think that the Patriots will let him go.
Well, and let me word it like this, too. I don't want the Titans to lose out on Tannehill chasing Brady or chasing
that
the
would be
hope
a worst case.
Of Brady. That,
well, and remember, they have the franchise tag.
They do.
Right?
But they have to make those decisions before Brady becomes available.
Possibly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not possible. It's just that, I mean, the franchise tag, you have to apply that before free
but
agency.
Can you know? I mean, I guess is it possible that the Patriots announce or Tom Brady announces,
guess,
I'm not going back there.
Right, well, and I guess
I will not re-sign. I am going to be open.
Like, I guess technically.
He could do that, right?
But isn't technically his contract a 3-year contract, even though it's a 1-year contract? So technically, could New England cut him? I don't know. I don't really know how all that works. But
that's a good question.
You know,
I do think that can happen, right? A guy could be cut and become available. But that is a good point, though. The timeline may
yeah.
be as such that it just makes a lot of more. If Tannehill is your guy, then you just designate him, or you try to strike a deal up until that time. So that would be a practical way to do it, right? Let's try to get the deal that we want with Tannehill. Then we have in our back pocket the franchise tag, the transition tag, because that's when you would have to decide, well, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to let him hit the market with
yeah.
the hopes that Brady hits the market.
Right.
You're right. A lot would have to happen just to have the opportunity.
But I think it's a dangerous game if the Titans have decided internally Ryan Tannehill's our guy, that's who we want. If they've already made that decision, then they need to get on it, because it's a dangerous game to let him go to the open market. Because if he goes to the open market, you're going to have Tampa after him, you're going to have Indy after him, you're going to have LA after him, potentially New England after him. I mean, there are going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be calling for the services of Ryan Tannehill, because we're in such a weird season where there are going to be so many quarterbacks available. I mean, hell, Carolina could be after him. So you don't want to – I don't think you want to let him go to the open market if that is the guy that you have identified as your quarterback and who you want.
I think you've hit on – I think that's a no-brainer. You would not want to chase
and the same goes with Derrick Henry.
Give up Tannehill.
The same goes with Derrick Henry. If you truly want those guys back, then you need to do whatever it takes. Transition tags, franchise tag, re-signing them, whatever the case may be. I mean, Derrick Henry told Diana Russini yesterday at the Pro Bowl he wants to be back in Tennessee. So he's made it known he wants to come back. You need to get those guys locked up before free agency opens, because if they hit the open market, I don't know if you get them back.
I'm pretty sure they would use the tag.
Yeah.
Either of the tags on Derrick Henry. There is no way that they are going to let him hit the open market.
But that
there
goes,
is no way.
That goes back to the question we raised yesterday of the priority between the two. Because we always looked at the top four,
right,
who are the ones
but
after.
But you have the two tags, though.
You
right?
do. You do have the two tags, but, I mean, they obviously work in different ways. So, you know, if you identify quarterback as the priority, I don't love the idea of using the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, but it's what you could do. And then I guess transition on Derrick Henry. But I don't know. I would rather see a long-term deal be reached.
Between February 25th and March the 10th is when you have – that's the window to designate the franchise and or transition player. And then right after that, from March 16th to 18th, then there's that recruiting period, right, for free agents. And then free agent starts. When does that start?
March 18th.
March 18th, yes. Hmm.
Yeah.
That is very intriguing. So you
got
to make
we
your call.
We got a long few months.
You
got
to make your call before on the tagging part, with the quarterback in particular.
Right.
So at that point, between February 25th and March 10th, will you know what Tom Brady's status is even? You may not. Right?
No.
You may not know.
I mean, you may not know.
Now,
and so
have,
that's why
you probably have intelligence out there.
You can I think you have a plan B in place, but you can't sit around and wait for the hope of Brady and lose out on Tannehill.
So are you swaying? Are you going more times than me? I've been saying Tannehill all along.
Yeah, I'm swaying a little bit.
You're swaying.
But I think I've always been, you know, I've always said I would be okay with Tannehill. If you are in a perfect position where you can inquire about Brady, then sure. But I think if they end up with Tannehill, then it's okay.
We'll take a short break, come back, and wrap things up here on the show, here on 102.5 The Game. Had a good show today.
It's been a long time since I rocked and rolled.
Is it really, though?
Not really. No.
Don't you like to rock and roll?
I do like to rock and roll.
I mean, it hasn't been that long, has it?
A couple hours.
Jared and the GM coming up just around the corner here. A couple of things going on. Gary Kubiak coming back. Offensive coordinator for the Vikings.
Yeah, he had been with them as like an advisor this year, a senior assistant or something, and Stefanski leaves. So he's going to be an OC. Just one of those guys that doesn't go away. And he's still very good. So,
what's the latest with our man Antonio Brown?
I don't know. I've lost track.
I've lost interest.
I think there's
track,
a warrant out.
It's not pretty, though.
No,
the warrant's out.
I just that's going to end poorly.
From what I've read, he threw a rock at a driver of a moving truck and then proceeded to assault him with his trainer. From what I've read.
With his trainer?
The trainer's already been arrested.
What next?
So I did some research during the break. This was what Ian Rapoport reported when Tom Brady signed his contract extension last year. The final 2 years of Brady's contract will automatically void on the final day of the 2019 league year, which I assume the final day of the league year is
March 17th at midnight or whatever.
Right,
so March 18th
is when it opens. So so that's when you'll know, unless, you know, there's some announcement made before then. New England can't place the franchise tag or the transition tag on him, so he's going to definitely be a free agent. Brady's new deal that he signed, basically he was going to make $15 million this year. It went to $23 million. Under the terms of the extension, he would be owed $30 million next season and $32 million in 2021. But again, those 2 years void, essentially. So...
Right.
So that could set
those
the market,
are the particulars
right?
as to why. But it also basically says that from what you've read, he would not become able to be discussed with until at least March 16th, which is that recruiting period, right? And you will have already had to have made your decision on whether to place the franchise tag or the transition tag on Tannehill at that point.
And New England, I mean, and they could essentially say, because of the way the contract's set up, it's year to year, they could say, no, we're going to bring him back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would hope you have that answer
right
here before. I mean, that would certainly help. But in your scenario of what you don't want, the worst case scenario is you let Tannehill walk up to unrestricted free agency without placing the tag on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you place the tag on him, you can still negotiate a deal. But you could let him, if you let him walk, and then you find at the last minute that Brady is not going to be on the market, then you're down to, oh boy, now what do we do? And that's, they're not going to have that happen, right? That's just not going to happen.
No.
So I think, but the question is there, does that give them a little bit of leverage with the Tannehill deal, right? I mean, certainly the franchise tag gives you leverage because you always have that card to play.
But
does that help you get a little bit more towards the team-friendly deal than you would have been otherwise?
Yeah, I think so. But and
knowing that there's maybe some other guys, some other options out there.
I mean, there are a lot of options at quarterback.
There's a lot of options. They're not all good options.
No, but there's more than there ever have been.
But there's no better option than Tannehill, other than if you knew that Brady was out there.
Yeah. I mean, Brady would be the only one that you could probably say is a better option. Or on
even
the,
argue.
On the very outside chance if Drew Brees became available. If Drew Brees becomes available, then that changes the whole game. But that ain't happening.
There seems to be no evidence towards that. All right, so just a little more info. So as we keep sleeping on this and learning about it, I think that there's no question that Tannehill will be back. He will be there.
I think so. That's probably what happens.
So are you still not at 0% like Tim Hasselbeck, your best friend?
No, I'm not 0%. Okay. But I also said yesterday, you know, because Darren wants to pin everybody down and make you choose a number, then he doesn't do it.
And he doesn't want to mention
right.
Does factor in.
Yeah, I said 10%. So.
All right, we welcome Darren back tomorrow.
Richard Deitch tomorrow.
Richard Deitch is coming back tomorrow. Looking forward to that. All right, stay tuned. Jared and the GM coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.